Take your Bible tonight, let's go to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5. The kiddos are going back to their class. 1 Peter chapter 5, all right? Once you find that, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm glad somebody else has made a racket. Remind me to turn mine. Well, hey. Now you got to find 1 Peter. It's right before 2 Peter. You can't miss it. Can't miss it, brother. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 5. Once you find that, take your Bible and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So have those two verses of Scripture there and put a finger in each place. And those of you that are using the electronic phones or the electronic Scriptures, I don't know if you can put a finger in a place, so I, you know, whatever. But 1 Peter, you can if you know how, huh? All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to read with me verse 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And then I want you to flip there to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 11, where the Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. I'm going to be honest with you. In thinking about preparing the message for tonight, it did cross my mind, you know, that, look, maybe this is just too simple. And everybody already knows everything I'm going to say, and maybe I ought not to do it, but I went ahead for two reasons. One, I don't believe the Lord led me that way for no reason. But secondly, because I see so many today who are destroyed by the devil and his minions, all right? Because we've been preaching to you on Wednesday night to be wise about. Well, tonight I want to preach to you about be wise about Satan. The Scripture says we are not ignorant of his devices, all right? We ought to know, okay? God's people ought to know what the devil is like and how he goes about in doing his work. But oftentimes I have found that sometimes we as preachers take too much for granted. We think, everybody knows that. But then I'll hear people talking and they'll say something about someone. They say, well, you know, I never knew that. And I'm sitting there thinking, I thought everybody knew that. You know, so, and not, you know, I don't want you to think, I'm not talking about deep theological truth, all right? I'm just talking about things that I would have thought, you know, I thought everybody. So maybe we need it. And as I said, man, I just see countless people, God's people, that get destroyed because they're not wise about Satan. And I think a lot of times they are ignorant of his devices, okay? Hey, we need to be prepared to battle with him. Because eventually, you will have to. If you haven't already done so, you will have to. And if you have, and you're able to say, you know, maybe got scarred up, but I came out on the winning side, well, it'll probably happen more than a few times in the future as the Lord tarries his coming. We're just going to have to do battle with him, all right? So I want you to go back to 1 Peter 5. I want you to look there in verse 8. Just very simple message tonight. Notice the Bible says your adversary. Your adversary. First thing you need to realize, he is your enemy. He is your enemy. You know, I don't think lost people realize he's their enemy. He's not their friend. Even those that, if you will, would make a pact with the devil, he's not their friend. He is your adversary. The Bible here, I don't believe this verse just refers to saved people. The devil is our enemy. He's the enemy of every person on this earth. He's not your friend, and he's got his designs, you know, and he is an adversary. An adversary is one that's an enemy that's actively working against you. That's exactly what Satan is and what he does. He's your enemy, okay? And could I say this? I'm not your enemy. Well, preacher, we knew that. Well, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes people get that idea because when a preacher preaches against sin, especially preach strongly against it and say, well, man, you're just against us. No, I'm not your enemy. And let me say this to you. Another Christian is not your enemy. They're not your enemy. We spend too much time fighting a perceived enemy and then fail to fight the one real enemy that you have. You know, it's not your enemy. You say, well, we had a falling out and we're... Yeah, but they're not your enemy. They're not your enemy. Now, they may no longer be your friend, but doesn't make them your enemy. All right? You may have had a difference and caused you to, have problems, but they're not your enemy, okay? Another Christian's not your enemy. And we need to realize that. We need to be careful in fighting. We can spend a lot of time fighting somebody that is a waste of our time and a waste of our energy. I'm not fighting other preachers. There's some preachers that I disagree with on some things, but I'm not fighting them. Not going to spend my time doing that, all right? But the real enemy that we have is Satan. He's out there. He's out to wreck and to ruin your life. Every way he can, all right? He's a home wrecker. He'll wreck homes. He'll wreck marriages. He can and he will. He'll wreck relationships between people. Families can get divided so much by the work of Satan, all right? Can happen so many times. He's out to ruin you personally in your personal life, all right? Do everything he can to wreck and ruin you, all right? Then because he is such an enemy, that's why we find what we find here in verse 8. Notice the Bible said, be sober. Be sober. Now that doesn't mean don't be drunk, all right? What it means is we're to be serious. We're to wake up and realize we need to be serious about this enemy. Oftentimes we'll laugh and we'll joke. I heard a preacher telling, and it's a funny story. I don't mean this, but in a bad way. But I heard this preacher telling, said the devil came to church one night, and he came in the church, man. He and growled, and the pastor saw him, and he heard him, took off running. Came by a guy in the pew, growled at him, and the guy just didn't move. They went to the deacon, and he went through that, and threatening. The deacon took off. Came back to that guy sitting in the pew. He just sitting there, not even phasing him. He said, don't I scare you? He said, no, I've been married to your sister 40 years. Right? Now, I don't think there's any, misunderstand what I'm fixing to say here. I don't think there's anything wrong with us telling something like that and laughing about it. But as long as we don't ever get to the idea that the devil is a joke, that we don't ever get to the point where we don't take him seriously. And that's what 1 Peter 5:8 is telling us. We need to be very serious about his enemy. We can't take him lightly. Can't take him lightly. I just finished a reading today, a book about Andrew Jackson and the defense and the Battle of New Orleans. And the British general that he faced in that battle came from Britain after being in the battle and helping defeat Napoleon, one of the greatest military leaders in history. But that fellow, General Pakenham, came to Louisiana down there and had no respect at all for the fighting force he was facing, and thought, hey, we're going to take care of them. And neither did the British Army. Hey, they were used to winning. And here they are facing a bunch of ragtag, undisciplined guys. You know, they weren't in any kind of uniform and all kinds of different weapons. And to make a long story short, they got a whooping, all right, from that ragtag. Why? Well, they underestimated one thing. They underestimated the enemy. They underestimated that enemy. Pakenham went back to England in a cask full of rum, because he died there, and that's what they used to preserve his body, take it back to England, and bury him. Hey, underestimated the enemy. Listen, don't you do that when it comes to the devil. We sometimes get the idea, I can take him. My friend, don't you realize the power of Satan is very immense, very powerful. You and I are no match for him on our own. Okay? We're just not. Don't take him lightly. Be serious. Then the Bible said be vigilant. Be vigilant. Very much. Hey, that just means ever on the alert and always watchful for the attack. Okay? Always watchful. Always expecting it. Always expecting something to happen. It's kind of like going through... This may be a strange analogy, but it's kind of like going through these horror houses, you know, that they all come up with at Halloween. Have you ever gone through any of those things? Remember one year, years ago in Florida, my brother and I went to the fair, and they had several of them. Some you walked through, some you rode through. We decided that year we're going through every one of them. And so we did. And the truth of the matter is, the main thing is you're waiting. What's going to happen? Now, I never have understood people screaming and carrying on, because let's face it, they're not going to cut your arm off with a chainsaw, all right? That's just not going to happen, all right? You don't have to worry about it. That spider is not real. An amazing thing to me is people, they will go and pay big money for somebody to scare them when they know there's nothing to be afraid of. But I want to tell you, when it comes to the devil, there's something to be afraid of. And we need to be ever on guard for his attack. Always ready, knowing it could come. Why? Well, you don't want to be caught off guard. Do not want to be caught off guard. So the Bible said, hey, he's your enemy, so get serious. And be on the lookout, all right? Be on the lookout. If you're going to be wise about the devil, we've got to go to John chapter 8. Got to go to John chapter 8, all right? John chapter 8, won't you look there in verse 44? Because when you talk about Satan, it's impossible to talk about him without talking about this part of his character. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees and kind of giving it to them, and he said in verse 44 of John 8, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Hey, when we start talking about the liar, we start talking about the devil, we got to realize he's a liar. He is a liar. Not just any old liar, but the father of lying, okay? The father of lying. You know, it absolutely amazes me that any Christian believe anything the devil says, knowing that fact. But yet, you see Christians that seem to be listening to him. You said, "Preacher, we don't do that. We don't listen to the devil." No, maybe not him, but you listen to somebody on his side. We hear things like, "Go ahead and do it, you won't get caught. You won't get caught." Hey, anytime something like that happens, you know we're talking about doing something you're not supposed to do. Go ahead, you won't get caught. Hey, just one time won't hurt a thing. Hey, we're talking about lies, all right? Hey, that preacher just don't want you to have any fun. All right? Ain't just keeping you from enjoying life. You said, preacher, those are so simple. Man, how many people do you know that have fallen for those lies? People do you know that have fallen for those lies? I can think of people in my lifetime that have done things. They said, well, I just want to try it once. But look what happened to you. Just what happened to you. Why? Well, we believe the lie of the devil. Look, anytime somebody comes along and tells you to do anything that's illegal or ungodly, it's a lie of the devil. The devil doesn't have to be there in person telling it. Okay? But it's a lie of the devil. You mark that thing down. Now, he's such a liar that did you notice what it says in there? That it says, and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. You think about that. There's no truth in him. None. You can't believe him. You can't believe anything he says. There's no truth in him. It's not, well, there's a little truth and a little... No, there's no truth. No truth in him. He's a liar. You can't believe what he said, yet unfortunately many do. Many do. What happens? Well, their life winds up in shambles. Well, things are just destroyed. Hey, not that you can't come back, but I don't want you to go through that. I don't want you to go through that, all right? Hey, a lot of people have come back from a lot of things, but most of them would have liked to not have gone through it. They wish they didn't have to go through it. Hey, Eve believed what the serpent said to her, and look what happened. Look what happened. Hey, he's a liar. He's a liar. But I think it even goes maybe a little, this kind of goes hand in hand with that. Look over in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Not only is he a liar, but what makes his lying so much more difficult maybe to contend with is what we find in Revelation 20, verse 10. Verse 10, I want you to notice what it says here, really just the first phrase there. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Notice what the Bible said, the devil that deceived them. Not only is the devil a liar, but he's a deceiver. Very deceptive in what he does. Now, you say, well, what's the difference? You know, sometimes a person can lie to you, and you can look at them and tell, they're lying. Right? You're lying. Yeah, I know you're not telling the truth, you know. But sometimes, if you're good, you can lie, but if you're deceptive, people believe it. People believe it. A deceiver, all right? Able to not only lie, maybe we should say lie with a straight face, but to convince somebody that lie is true, that's a deceiver. That's a deceiver. Goes past just telling that which is not true. But to deceive someone, all right? To deceive someone, some people can do it. Now, you can deceive kids pretty easy. You can deceive kids pretty easy. I don't even remember what happened. I think it was this morning at school or yesterday morning one. I was picking at my granddaughter, and man, I had her. She believed everything I said, you know. And my brother was there listening. He said, man, they'll take it all in. They go for it, you know. Well, the devil's good enough to do that with you and me if we're not very careful. He's a deceiver. You know, he talked about his lying to Eve. He deceived Eve. And he's been deceiving folks ever since. Ever since. All right? He deceived. Now, remember, when we talk about deceiving Eve, could you try to put yourself in that position just a little bit and realize Eve had heard it straight from the lips of God. You don't eat of this fruit of that tree. You don't eat. If you do, you'll die. You'll die. But that serpent came and was able to lie to Eve in such a way and deceive her. You know, I would hope if God had personally spoken to me that somebody else couldn't come along and I would allow them to overrule what God said. Right? But he's a master deceiver. He's deceived folks as to doctrine. We got people who believe some of the craziest things in the world. Why? Because they've been deceived by Satan. He's deceived folks as to the very word of God. What is the word of God? Where is it? He's deceived people about it. He's deceived folks about salvation. He's deceived people about salvation. He's deceived people about heaven, about hell, and who's going and how you get there. He's deceived people about that. You hear people today talk, and a big chunk of the populace believes when you die, everybody goes to heaven. The only people who don't go to heaven is Hitler and a mass murderer. But other than that, they go to heaven, you know. Now, you could have lived a wicked life, but, you know, if you're a good Joe and a good fella, a good person, you'll be all right. You're in a better place. No, you're not in a better place, all right? Not at all. Hey, he's a deceiver. He tells you to wait. He tells you to wait. Decisions you need to make for God. And he says, wait, because you got plenty of time. Plenty of time. That's a deceiver. That's a deceiver. Hey, look, I hope every one of us realize the brevity of life. Hope you understand no one of us guaranteed tomorrow. The healthiest one amongst us could be in heaven tomorrow. Hey, we're not guaranteed. There's the brevity of life. And we all say we understand that. We understand that, but wait a minute. How many times have you stood during the invitation and the Holy Spirit of God brings conviction and we say, not now. Not now. What we're saying is, I got time. Well, where'd you get that idea? You didn't get it from God. Hey, he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. You need to be wise about Satan, his working. Ephesians chapter 4. This is a verse that I honestly think of often. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Very short verse, just a few words, six words. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. You say, why not? Because he's opportunistic. He's opportunistic, all right? The devil will take any place you give him, and you don't have to worry about that. However, I'm going to say this, he'll not be content with just that place. He'll not be content. You say, well, I'll give just this little bit of my life. He'll not be content with that, all right? He's always going to seek to gain more room, more control, more influence in your life. He's very opportunistic. He'll come, all right? He'll take any place you'll give him. He doesn't wait to be invited. He'll just come. He'll just come. If there's a crack in your armor, or if you leave the door to your life just a little bit ajar, old Satan's going to head directly to that spot seeking an inroad into your life. Like I say, he doesn't wait to be invited. He's opportunistic. He sees the chance, he goes. He goes. He's like a good running back in football. Good running back in football. A good running back in football knows the plays. And every play in the playbook is pretty much designed to go in one hole or another. You know, either you follow the guard who's pulling, or you go between the guard and the tackle and you follow the fullback who's going with the block, or hey, it's the sweep, or student body right, and everybody's going right. You follow all those blockers and go to the right. But every good running back has got peripheral vision. And when he sees, hey, that hole's open right there, that's not where the play was called, but the hole is there, he goes. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly the way the devil operates. He's opportunistic. He's opportunistic. And you say, what do you mean? Well, let me give you this illustration. Remember David, the man after God's own heart? But David opened the door just a crack when he stayed home from the battle and went on the rooftop to look around. I don't believe for a moment David went up there planning to commit adultery. But Satan's opportunistic. Satan's opportunistic. The door was open. There he is. There he is. As a preacher, I stand and preach, and I preach to you. Hey, be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. Stay faithful in the house of God. You never can tell. The opportunity might be when you decide to stay home from church. I'm just going to skip one service. Just going to do that. I'm saying to you, he's opportunistic. All he needs is that little bit of crack there, all right? When you decide to take a second look, when what you saw the first look, you know, I don't need to look back again, but we do. Satan's opportunistic. He uses those things, all right? He uses those times. It doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be where you decide, well, I'm done. It doesn't have to be as it was with a prodigal son who told his dad, look, I'm leaving. I've had enough here. I want my inheritance. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And went in a far country. Hey, he did not go looking for a better place to serve God. No doubt. He didn't go for that purpose. Hey, but wait a minute. Satan doesn't have to have that much room. He's opportunistic. You just crack the door, he'll be in. He'll be in. I mean, if you just give him that little inch. Remember what we said when we started? Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because he's opportunistic. He'll come. You give him a place. You give him a place. He'll come. And when he comes, he won't settle. He intends to stay. He's not easily run off. He's there. All right? Opportunistic. Well, let me say this lastly. He's a loser. He's a loser. Check out his track record. All right? Check out his track record. He had grandiose plans way back yonder and tells us in Isaiah when he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above that of God. It's going to be me. I'll take the place of the Most High. Hey, he lost. He got thrown out of heaven. He lost. Okay? That day where Abraham was taking that son of his up to offer Isaac up, Satan would have had that knife plunge into the heart of Isaac, but God said, hey, Abraham, it's all right, there's a ram caught in the thicket right there. Hey, he lost. He lost there when he caused Herod to go and kill all those babies because he wanted to kill the young Jesus Christ. He lost. He lost. He lost back there in Exodus when Moses, who was going to be the one God sent to deliver the nation of Israel, and his mama put him afloat in a little ark of bulrushes. He could have been eaten by the crocodiles, but he wasn't. He lost because God saw to it that Pharaoh's daughter checked him out. And I believe made Moses cry. Because women can't resist a crying baby. I mean, you know, I believe they opened that ark. Look what's in here. And when they did, well, Moses had been quiet until then, but then he cranked it up. And man, they picked him up, and we know what happened. Well, the devil lost, all right? You talk about losing, he lost at the cross. He lost at the cross. He lost there. He lost there at that tomb. That first Easter Sunday morning, he lost because the Lord Jesus came out, all right? Hey, we know his ultimate destination is the lake of fire. He's a loser. Can I ask you this? Why would you want to follow, hang with, listen to, or give place to a loser? Who's got one goal, and that's to wreck your life? Ever been around somebody that's unhappy and wanted to be sure everybody around them was unhappy? Hey, I don't want to be around somebody like that, all right? That's Satan, all right? That's Satan. His end has been decreed. There is a place prepared for him. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, would you? Matthew 25, look down with me in verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. The Lord speaking here, he said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Hey, the devil is a loser, decreed. No doubt that's where he's headed. By the way, if you go to hell, you'll go to a place that wasn't prepared for you. The Bible said it's prepared for the devil and his angels. You'll be an interloper. Now, that's where the devil would love to have you. But you say, "Preacher, not worried about that. I've been born again." Wonderful. You don't ever have to worry about going there. But you do need to worry about him ruining your life. Ruining your life. Hey, you can't believe him. You can't bargain with him, okay? Can't bargain with him. You just need to resist him. Remember where we read there in 1 Peter 5:8? All right? It said, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The next verse, the first two words say, "Whom?" Resist. Resist. We're to resist him. Hey, you can't bargain with him, you can't believe him, but you can resist him. That's what you need to do. Resist him with everything that's within you. Don't let him get to you and take away your confidence, your courage, your credibility. Don't let that happen. Be wise about Satan. Be wise about Satan. He is after you. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, you'd just help us. Help us see the truth